Revelation Revealed, Part 3, Section 21, The Letter to Thyatira. Revelation chapter 2, verse 18 through 28. Verse 18, to the angel of the church or the community of believers in Thyatira write, these are the words of the Son of God. This is Jesus speaking, the Son of God, whose eyes are like blazing fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze. That speaks of judgment. The bronze, the fire, speaks of judgment. I know your deeds, your love and faith, your service and perseverance, and that you now are doing more than you did at first. These guys are really doing some good things here. Nevertheless, here comes the big but. I have this against you. And again, Jesus does have things against his people. If he didn't, it wouldn't be in the scripture here. You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. By her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and eating of food sacrificed to idols. Now again, we have Jewish-orientated words here. We have Jezebel, we have food sacrificed to idols. Some say that this letter, as well as the other six, are directed to Jews in the dispensation called the Great Tribulation. And of course, that is the minority view amongst futurists. Most people believe this letter was written to Christians in Thyatira in John's day and does have an application for a time in church history. The bottom line point to these last two verses is that Jesus does not like false teaching, and he expects us to not like it as well. As Jesus hates it, so should we. Verse 21. I have given her time to repent of her immorality, but she is unwilling, so I will cast her on a bed of suffering, and I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely unless they repent of her ways. Now, repentance is key here. Jesus has given this Jezebel and those following her, whoever this lady is, time to repent. Either this lady was a real lady in John's day, or this lady is a lady in the day of the Great Tribulation. But repentance is priority. No repentance comes suffering, comes judgment. 23, I will strike her children dead. Then all of the churches or the communities of believers will know that I am he who searches the hearts and minds, and I will repay each of you according to your deeds. Again, Old Testament style language. I'm going to repay you for your works, your deeds. Do with that as you wish. But again, I'm just pointing out all the allusions to Old Testament here that do not apply to New Testament Christians. And I know it's a hard one to get your head around because you have not heard this way of thinking, probably have not heard it, and does take a little bit of time to think through. 24, now I say to the rest of you in Thyatira, to you who do not hold to her teaching and have not learned Satan's so-called deep secrets. It's a little bit of a pun there. I will not impose any other burden on you. Only hold on to what you have until I come. Well, this is interesting. Hold on to what you have until I come. The preterist would say he came in judgment in 70 AD. If this was written to people in John's day, how could they hold on until Jesus comes? when Jesus hasn't come yet 2,000 years after John wrote these words. Again, it's quite possible this letter is written to Jews in the time of the Great Tribulation, and in that sense, he would be coming pretty soon. Remember, those who believe this letter is written to Jews in the times of the Great Tribulation believe that once the rapture comes, God picks up his dealings with Israel as was left off in the Old Testament days, and he will remind them that they agreed to the law of Moses, and he is going to hold them to it. Okay, verse 26. To him who overcomes and does my will, to the end I will give authority over the nations. Again, this is overcoming until the end of time. If you overcome to the end of time, you will have authority over the nations. Either Christians in John's day would have authority over the nations, or Jews in the day of the Great Tribulation will have authority over the nations, depending on your viewpoint. Verse 27, he will rule, meaning Jesus, will rule them with an iron scepter. He will dash them to pieces like pottery, just as I have received authority from my Father. This is an interesting point. Jesus is going to rule the nations with a rod of iron. When is that going to be? It's going to be during his 1,000-year rule on earth. Why would he have to rule the nations in such a harsh way? Because there are going to be some people on earth who still have sinful nature. There will be some left over from the Great Tribulation that will survive and go into the 1,000-year rule of Christ. Others of us who come back from heaven with Jesus at his return will have our glorified bodies. We will not be able to sin, but we will rule the nations. There is the possibility of sin during the 1,000-year rule of Christ. That's why he's got to rule with a rod of iron. Zechariah 14 states that the nations during those 1,000 years must come to Jerusalem once a year to worship at the Feast of Tabernacles. If they don't come, God will prevent rain from falling on that nation. That tells you right there, there is an opportunity, a chance for people and nations to rebel. And of course, they do rebel at the end of the 1,000-year period of time when Satan is released. Verse 28, I will also give him, meaning the person who overcomes, the morning star. I won't comment on the morning star. It's very debatable. 29, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. I know I'm going through these letters, as I said before, somewhat quickly, but you can find my written commentary on my website. You can also find a booklet that I've written concerning the 1,000-year rule of Christ. I go into this period of time much more detail there.